It's an interesting gospel lesson that we're given today from Mark's gospel account, and it's remarkable in many ways. Obviously, this woman had heard of Jesus. She had heard of his holy word. She had heard of his holy works, and she is bold enough to approach him, which is interesting in and of itself because we have to remember the cultural context at which this is happening. He's a Jew. She's a Gentile. Never the two shall mixed in this particular culture at this time. And she has no business not only just speaking to him, much less asking favor of him, which is what she has done. There's another part to this that is unique to Middle Eastern culture, and in some parts of the Middle East it would still be prevalent today, and that is that she is an unaccompanied female approaching a male. That would have been unheard of at that time, yet again, the boldness of her approach comes through here. And it's interesting because Jesus, upon first blush, when he encounters her, he recognizes that she is a Syrophoenician, that is a Gentile. She's a Greek, she's not a Jew. And he lets her know that what his mission is that he's come first for the lost sheep of Israel. He's come for the Jews, yet she's not a Jew and she's approaching him. She's not only approaching him, she's asking him for favor. And it's very likely that probably at that time, because he's traveling with the disciples, that they've actually tried to shoo him away or shoo her away. If you think about how the story started, we're told that what Jesus wanted was some alone time. He didn't want to be dealing with anybody, yet she finds him anyway. And that always amazes me in Holy Scripture when we hear about Jesus telling people, don't tell anybody about what I just did for you. I don't want any of this getting out. And yet it kind of mushrooms out there, right? And people start coming to Jesus. And yet we have that kind of opposite problem 2,000 years later. We want to tell everybody about Jesus, and we have problems getting people to come to him. What an interesting conundrum that we face in the Western world today. We have people who will watch a YouTube video and decide they want to chomp down on Tide Pods, but we can't convince them that this is God's holy word and they should come and worship him in his holy house. But that's a sermon for another day. This woman clearly has come to Jesus. Again, likely the disciples would have tried to sort of shoo her away, yet Jesus doesn't ignore her. He does at first remind her that he is a Jew and he has come for the lost sheep of Israel. But she doesn't let that hinder her. She continues to ask him for favor. She wants her sick daughter or her demon-possessed daughter to be healed. And she believes that Jesus is the answer to that healing. And Jesus even gives a rather, we might call it a flippant sort of response, making reference to the Gentiles as being referred to, as they commonly were by the Jews, as dogs, the dogs eating under the table. And she is not at all in any way deterred by that, which is also interesting. Because in the end, when she keeps up her request of Jesus, he ends up granting that request to her. And not only does he grant it to her, he says some very interesting words to her. He makes a reference to her faith being great. And what's fascinating about that is when you go through the gospel accounts in the New Testament, you're never going to find Jesus commending a Jew, his own kind, for their faith. Every time he talks about someone having great faith, it's like this woman. It's a Gentile. Or it's the story of the Roman officer whose child is sick back home, right? Or I guess, no, it's not a child, it's a servant, sick back home. And he commends that Roman officer, that Gentile, for their faith. It's a very interesting phenomenon. Today is February the 8th, and in terms of the liturgical calendar, that's really of no great significance to the church, except that there is a movement afoot, and it probably has its roots within the secular world. And I would guess that no one, or practically no one in the church, is really paying too much attention to this. There may be some churches that are aware of it. I have heard nothing about any special services for today, but what's been started is something called Worldwide Day of Prayer for the Victims of Human Trafficking. And that's been set aside as a day to pray for these people. And it's February 8th, and that's today. And I think that is very interesting in light of that gospel story that we hear today, because it gives us an idea about how we're to treat people. If we're to be Christ-like, how we're to treat people, especially those in society that are different than us, that are unlike us, we might even look at them and consider them less than us. And when we think about human trafficking throughout the world, the reality is the majority of those victims are usually what we might consider the lower strata of society. And there's no doubt it's a cross section. There's all sorts of people who become victim of this, but by and large, it's usually the lower socioeconomic status. It's people without any great power. And do you know that the greatest day for human trafficking activity in the United States is actually the first weekend in February? And you know why it is? Because it revolves around, believe it or not, the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl tends to be the largest concentration of human trafficking in North America every year. And it revolves around sex trafficking, prostitution, taking little girls off the street who are addicted to drugs or who have been addicted to drugs and putting them into servitude, to slavery, basically. We have here in Louisiana a safe home that Good Shepherd has worked with in the past to raise money for. We've treated it as one of our own missions. It's called the Free Indeed Home, and it's a 501c3. It depends only on contributions from good people like you to keep itself running. And what they do is they go out and they take girls off the street, usually from the French Quarter. Mardi Gras would probably be another time where they'll be doing a lot of these rescues. And they bring them to this safe house. It's an undisclosed location, I can tell you. It's actually on the North Shore. And they take care of these girls. And because it's a 501c3, it's a private home, funded solely by private money, it also has a Christian bent to it. And they try to not just care for them and get them the physical care they need, psychological care they need, but to offer them spiritual care through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I think that today, that's an interesting concept for us to be mindful of, and something that we can go forward, particularly this on the cusp of entering into Lent, the holy season of Lent, a time for us to be thinking about offering prayers for those who are so in need and so far worse off than we could ever imagine being. No matter what is going on in your life right now, if you want to put it in perspective, think about a 14-year-old girl who is living on the streets, addicted to drugs, because that's how her slave handlers keep her active in the trade by which they are using to make money. It's just an incredible thought. It's a horrible thought. And the fact that we have at least one home in our area that is attempting to do something, and it may just be one little drop in an ocean, but for that one girl that they're able to reach, it can mean the difference of life and death, both physical and spiritual. So I encourage you to pray for that and to think of that in terms of that epistle reading that we heard today from that almost unknown book in the New Testament, Philemon, where Paul is writing to this guy, and he's saying, look, you and I are brothers in Christ, and the fact of the matter is, I brought you to Christ. Paul gets a little bit cocky with him at one point and says, and you know what, I'm not telling you what you need to do, even though, let's be honest, I could. I just want you to do what's right. And yes, your slave ran away. And yes, I have him. But I want you to know, like, I brought you to Jesus Christ. I brought him to Jesus Christ as well. And I'm going to send him back to you. And at the end of the day, you need to do what you think is right. But I just want you to know what I think is right. And that is that you treat him not like a slave, but that you treat him like the brother in Christ that he is. And I think there's a wonderful message in that for us as we contemplate again entering into the most blessed season of Lent, as we contemplate this day that someone has started where we are asking the world to pray for the victims of human trafficking, to think that in 2018, not just the sexual part of human trafficking, that slavery, legitimate real slavery, like we know of, the traditional definition, still exists in this world in places. That there's human trafficking that is based on harvesting organs, kidnapping someone, and taking their kidneys, or their liver, or their heart, so that someone who has the money to pay for it can continue to have a life. It's a crazy thought, but it's a reality in this world that we live in, and it's certainly ungodly. To think that we see in the news that there are places where abortions take place and they harvest the organs of the fetuses to be used without any real regulation against that or for that. It's a crazy world, even in our own backyard. And my brothers and sisters in Christ, it is something worth thinking about and worth praying about and worth asking our Lord Jesus Christ that his power may prevail and that the hearts of the world may change. Just the way we saw that change taking place today that Jesus purposely demonstrates for us. That he says, yeah, you're not from my tribe, but I'm going to take you in anyway. That we have that same obligations as brothers and sisters in Christ to think of the less thans of society and to, wherever we can, act on their behalf. And even when we can't do something tangible, to remember them in prayer, to know that our God is powerful and that through him, nothing is impossible. And I pray you receive that this evening, and that you do so in the name of our blessed Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you do, let me hear you say amen.
Amen. Amen.